Today's Film Vault is brought to you by Audible.
Please visit audiblepodcast.com/TFV for your free audiobook download. Yeah, Film Vault. I turned myself off my own headphones. I could barely hear anything.
We just spent 10 minutes mic checking.
I know.
Come on,
I sound lower. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault. Dave Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Today in the Film Vault, the much anticipated top 5 revenge films.
Finally.
Top 5 revenge movies in the Film Vault today. Anderson revenge, turns out, is a very common theme in a lot of movies.
That's what Logan and I have been telling you for the past 18 months. Let's do a revenge film. I don't know if I've seen 5 revenge films. So.
Well, it's funny because the genre of revenge films is a very specific genre, and we'll talk more about it later in the show.
Asians love their revenge.
And then there are films that are largely surrounding and about revenge. So it's almost like the revenge film is a genre, and then there are just films about revenge
we could have done top 5 movies with revenge in the title.
Yes. And also, we'll talk about
none
it, I
of
guess,
mine
later
revenge in the title.
Mine don't either, I don't think.
Okay. Are you sure?
I don't know. It's a long
one. Isn't there one called Revenge of the Fallen or something? Or is it Rise of the Fallen?
Oh, you're right. Well, that's a subtitle. Transformers 2. Spoiler alert for our own show. We'll have to decide or talk about... After I pulled together my list to do a lot of, Googling of other lists on the internet, just to make sure I didn't miss an egregious one or this one that I'd go, oh, yeah, that one I should have put on my list. And came across an awful lot of movies that I don't think were revenge movies, but had a lot of revenge in them. But we'll have to talk about exactly what makes a revenge film.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
When are we going to do that?
Segment 2. First.
I was talking to Logan. He wants vengeance.
Against?
He wants to go over the Ace Networks and shoot it up.
What?
That's what he told me.
Is that true?
He's got blood on his breath.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Mm-hmm.
We should ask those guys if we can have our old episodes back. Because someone tweeted me. They're like, oh, listen to old episodes. Loving them. Just found the time travel episode.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have them. We're not allowed to have those episodes.
Well, no one has them right now. They're just sitting
You know who probably does? I bet there's a crazy listener out there named Gio that has every single last moment.
I have them all. I just don't know if I can put it out there.
Yeah, I have them too.
Of course you can. But don't. All right, let's move on.
Woo! There's a great archive of episodes out there.
Let's do Flick Fest, and then we'll do a little Flick Fest, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what makes a revenge movie. And
you want to jump right into Flick Fest?
Let's jump right
we
in.
We start off every week, like we start off today, with a little segment we call Flick Fashions. We confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson, go ahead.
Oh, I'm starting.
Yeah, we're confessing 3 flicks we saw in the past week.
Movie came out today. Today we're recording Tuesday here today, and it's a movie that showed up on my doorstep today by mail. And it was actually released today, so I got lucky. Like, I timed it out perfect with the old fuck flicks over there.
Released, like, theatrically?
It was released on DVD. Okay. It's a little movie called Hot Coffee. It's another one of these documentaries that
tomorrow.
Came out.
Coming tomorrow.
Are you sure? You sure don't have your copy?
I got an email from Netflix saying shipping tomorrow.
That's pretty,
Hot Coffee.
That's pretty great. You're going to enjoy this, and I almost want to save it now, and we'll just talk about it next time.
Ooh. No, we'll talk about it next time. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
I'm very glad I saw it. It's very depressing at times. It's very interesting. It's very – it's another one of these movies where the man is fucking you. We're all getting fucked by the man.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the time we see it in the form of like Enron, the smartest guys in the room, or like stuff about energy or Halliburton movies or
Food Inc.
Food Inc. Yeah. This one is all about the tort reform, which a lot of people aren't that aware of. I knew a little bit about it just from producing the Dr. Drew daytime show a few years ago. Drew, all for tort reform. Guys like you and I, we shouldn't be for tort reform.
Oh, really?
Tort reform is all about making it so that the little guy can't take the big guy to court.
Okay.
And there's tons of laws being passed, and it's really, really interesting because everyone knows.
Yeah, Drew is against it because he's
a physician, and he's
they're prime targets.
All the richies are against
prime targets.
Well,
physicians more so than anyone. Let me interject and say that Logan and I were on the road this weekend, a little weekend away, and we came across some
romantic.
That's right. Came across some fans, one of whom, one of whose wife was a doctor, and she's like, "Oh, it's not a matter if you're a doctor, if you're delivering babies, it's not a matter of if you're going to get sued. It's a matter of when and how many times."
Right.
So yes, the doctors have big targets on their back.
But doctors deserve to be sued, I think. Often,
do they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look down on me just because you have more schooling? Fuck you, doctor.
Yeah.
I will sue you for making
educated.
Me feel little.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what they're afraid of. And they're, and, you know, of course, it's like the 1% ruining it for the rest of us. There are plenty of lawsuits out there that need to get through. I'm not going to try and get too heady. That's not what we do here on the show. The film is a very heady movie. And I suggest anyone who hears this to see it, whether you're on this side or that side of it. But it really is. It's good on informing the public. However, it's quite easy for them. They only told one side of the story. They told the story from the little man's perspective, from the consumer's side. They didn't really go on the other side. Well, you know, they didn't talk about that 1% that ruined – the 1% and 1% that ruins it for everyone. There are plenty of frivolous lawsuits out there. But the thing that's most interesting
in this
movie –
those are the ones that get coverage and headlines and everything.
Right.
It's like
– as where I'm going right now, which is hot coffee. Everyone knows the famous hot coffee case where the woman scalded herself by spilling –
Scalded. You said scalded.
I said scalded.
Scalded.
Wow, you're so USC.
Go!
I said scalded.
Playback.
There's it. With a hot coffee from McDonald's.
Sure.
And what do you know about that?
Well, it's unfair. Let me say this. It's unfair to ask me that because I know a little bit about it in doing research on my own.
About what?
I said to my wife today, I'm like, oh, I got this movie Hot Coffee coming. And blah, blah, blah. We're going to watch that. And she goes, what's it about? And I'm like, oh, you know that – That case, McDonald's and the hot coffee, and her response was, "Oh, that idiot spilled the hot coffee on himself." And
her
but well, no, that's what she said.
Okay, good.
So that's her perspective.
She thought it was a dude.
And I almost corrected her. I'm like, no, hold on. How much money
did the lady get or the guy get?
I don't care. I'm telling you a story. I'm saying she was like, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, I almost corrected her, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna say a word. I want her to go in with her own preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'm already tainted. I would like to have her go completely untainted and see what happens.
Your tainted subject matter. Logan, what do you know about it? I was trying to make a point and you
– I know. I'm making your point for you that we'll see when my wife sees it.
Did she have any money? Anyway, okay.
She has no concept of what actually happened.
I don't know the details of the case, but I know that each cup of coffee at McDonald's now says – it warns you that the contents are hot and stuff.
He's too young to understand. I remember any of this that went on apparently, right, but I believe it was back in like 1997 or something. And most people, myself included, thought that she's taking advantage of the system and she spilled some hot coffee and it's probably got a little bit of a burn. And she ended up getting like $10 million was what I heard a lot. Sure. Turns out they show what happened to this woman soon into the film. And it is one of the most horrific images you're going to see year or any other year.
Oh, no.
It is fucked up.
And you saw Human Centipede too.
A 90-year-old woman's naked crotch. They do blur the VJ.
Oh.
But you see the horror show that happened down there.
Anderson.
Third degree burns.
Bunny slippers.
What?
So they call them old vagina.
Who calls it that? Not me. That's horrible. What are you talking about? Anyways, this woman. It turns out this woman was a true victim, and she got maybe what she deserved. She was definitely a victim who deserved to get some money. She probably should have got a little bit more once you see this movie.
Sure.
Very, very interesting. It'll spark all sorts of debate if you can watch it with your friends. We'll talk more about it next week.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Don't make that sound.
Sorry.
Also saw another movie, a very recent movie called The Last Circus. This is a Spanish film.
Subtitles?
I forgot my notes for this movie, unfortunately.
Subtitles,
you can stop listening right now.
I'm out.
Came out earlier this year, actually over the summer. It's one of the movies that I wanted to see this summer. It's a Spanish-speaking film, Spanish-language film, and it's all about a little boy in Spain, in Franco Spain, in like the 30s. And his father is a part of the Civil War over there and gets killed. And then he grows up, and then the rest of the movie takes
General
place in the 70s.
Francisco Franco?
But yes.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie takes place in the 70s, and the little boy is now grown, and he is a sad clown, and he's in a circus. His dad was a clown in the circus as well. And the boy has seen so many atrocities that he has to be a sad clown. And it gets really, really fucked up, really, really disturbing, and very funny at the same time. I wanted to really like this movie. I liked it. There's a lot of great action. There's a lot of quirky characters, and it's a really, really well-made film. It felt like a little bit like an Amelie or a City of Lost Children. Had the same kind of feels as film. So if you like that, real rich imagery and a lot of animals and very beautiful shots and hard – without getting anything away, there's a lot of facial mutilation when clown makeup is not at hand and the sad clown needs to be a sad clown.
Needs to put on
he makes
makeup.
Himself a sad clown right before he takes his guns and shoots up the place.
Oh, my God. That's the saddest clown of all.
Vengeance. There's a lot of vengeance in that movie. And then finally, a movie that I saw if you like Todd Solondz and you have the same kind of taste as I do in movies and you like even like Adam Carolla's type of anger and upset feelings towards everyday life.
The world. Things.
Bobcat Goldthwait, now known as Bob Goldthwait.
Oh, then his new movie.
Made a movie called God Bless America, which I was fortunate enough to see it with the cast and the crew. over the weekend.
Look at you name dropping.
Yeah, I know. Talked to Bob, went up and told him. I said, I'm gonna be talking about this on my little podcast. Is that cool? He's like, absolutely. Wow, and I said, cool. It's unfortunate for you because I fucking hated it. No, I'm kidding. That would be really uncomfortable.
That'd be horrible.
But my buddy Mike Carano worked on this. You know Mike Carano from the
what
After Disaster.
What did Carano do?
He was a still photographer. So I hung around on set a little bit.
Is that like is he doing that for publicity or for continuity or both?
Both, but mainly publicity. They have somebody else
taking like digital photos for like continuity, right?
Yeah, but they got script girls and they have different people to do things like he's not like he doesn't have to be there for every frame and every setup and then they go back and check it. Okay. They can if they need to, but we got into a long discussion about what exactly a still photographer does, Carano and I, on the After Disaster, and he really can't explain. I mean, it's usually for publicity or just as like a little scrapbook for the people involved in the movie afterwards. But he worked very long hours. Right. I hung out with him a little bit on the set, and let me just tell you that this Bobcat does feel a lot like a news Todd Solondz. He has a very similar storytelling style and style to his movies.
I've had World's Greatest Dad on my thing forever.
I love that movie. I'd be really interested to see if you like that one.
I guess.
Joel Murray stars in this one. That's Bill Murray's brother. And
he has like 10 brothers.
This is the main brother. You like, and when you see him, you know him. And he's just fed up with society. He's very. You remember my short film 3/6?
Yes,
it's like an extension of that. Just angry about everything, and he takes vengeance. And he goes out and he just starts pretty much like the reality stars, rude people in general. What America is becoming? Everything. Juno. He goes off about Juno and how he wants to murder everyone that involves
Inspired
Dakota
by Anderson.
Yeah. It was Jillian actually watched it with me. The girl, she leaned over and whispered in my ear, "Did you make this movie?" So obviously I liked it. It got a little bit preachy throughout the movie. Quite often, I shouldn't say a little bit, very preachy. But they're preaching to the choir.
God's right there in the title.
Preaching to the choir. No, preaching politics, Brian.
Oh, sorry.
And it was a fun little romp. So it's coming out next spring.
Oh, is that far in advance?
Yeah, you can already save it on Netflix, I believe. So
okay.
Add it to your memory.
I've been hearing about it forever because Bob's been talking about it.
God bless America. Yeah, really fun movie. He teams up. It's kind of like a modern
day. So it's done?
Natural Born Killers, yes.
He must have shot it very quickly because I remember he was talking about writing it back when he was on our show
They were shooting
ago.
It over the like last spring or over the summer.
Oh, he must have finished
it. No, spring. They were shooting it in the spring.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he teams up with like a little girl. A little 17-year-old girl in the movie who has the same ideals as he does, same ideology, and they just kind of go on a killing spree. And it's funny. And let me tell you this, without giving anything away, because it happens in the first scene of the movie, a newborn baby is blown away with a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
It's true. It's very dark.
Newborn death porn.
Newborn air death porn. Because the child is thrown into the air and then target practiced. Yeah, it's a bit over the top. Okay.
Three flicks for flick fashions.
I'm going to nap over here.
First, I saw what I saw on the – well, Logan and I took a weekend trip, by the way, and I had two long plane flights to watch movies on. I brought a little portable DVD player, and I watched Sunshine.
Oh!
Was that on your almost awesome list?
That was
or was it on your
– almost awesome, yeah. Yeah. First two acts, awesome. Last act.
And it was not on your
terrible
good movie, bad ending list.
No, because that – I don't know. I think that was the list that was that was dominated by M. Night Shyamalan.
That's correct. Yes. Okay. So I agree. Almost awesome movie. There are elements of it that are awesome. I think it's technically a low-budget film or independent film because it's a Fox Searchlight picture, which is generally independent films. And I think I looked up the budget and it was $40 million, which for a sci-fi film I think is on the lower end. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any big stars in it. I think
Cillian
Murphy, who I've been calling Cillian, so I apologize to all of you Irish people.
I didn't hear you do that.
I've called him Cillian Murphy.
I would have loved to have corrected you.
Cillian Murphy and Chris Evans before he was really Chris Evans.
Who's Chris Evans?
Captain America.
Oh, of course.
He's very famous.
I don't know names.
He was in Scotty Pilgrim.
All right. Yeah, okay. I thought his name was Michael Cera, but okay. Move ahead. Move along.
Sunshine, 2007, directed by Danny Boyle. And also Rose Byrne of Bridesmaids. Good cast, but sort of under the radar cast.
Two-thirds of this movie is awesome.
Awesome elements. It looks great for being a sort of low-budget film. I mean, they've gotten all their money's worth. There's cool elements. There's some philosophical stuff. The story, of course. I say, of course – jokingly, because somehow this movie came out only 4 years ago. I have no recollection whatsoever of this movie ever coming out. When you talked about it in Almost Awesome Movies, this is the first time I'd ever heard of it. And I went back and I watched the trailers on the DVD, never saw a single trailer for it, never saw a commercial for it. And I was like, what the fuck? How did this movie come out recently? And I didn't know anything about it. I was hosting a movie show at the time, for God's sake.
What was it called?
What?
What was it called? The show you were hosting?
Real Beat.
Oh, really?
That's right. It was hosted by me and some other asshole.
Yeah.
So it turns out the release date kept getting fucked with. Like, it was supposed to come out like October 2006. Didn't come out until September 2007. So it kept getting pushed around, came out in other countries before. And I think kind of like with I Love You, Philip Morris. When you fuck with the release date, people just kind of lose track and they're like, huh, what?
They were going to the Sun, Brian. Maybe this is lost on you, but the Sun was a metaphor for a gay club.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That makes so much sense. It was flaming.
The Sun. It was a flaming gay club.
That makes so much sense now. Yes, the Sun is burning out. It's losing all of its energy, and they must go and reignite the Sun.
You're worse than Corona. Yes, so they're a last ditch effort because you're talking about things that don't affect the listener.
It's going to affect you, which will in turn affect listeners.
I was turning off the TV because the TV had that thing where the cable box was off, but the black screen was on, and it really frustrates me because it's wasting pixels.
I would include it on a list in the future, which I think we may do, of top five movies that take a turn for the worst.
Worst.
Yeah, take a turn for the worst. There is a plot element that occurs two-thirds of the way through that is sort of, as you probably feel the same way, a little disheartening. It's almost like, oh, they're going that way? All right.
It's a great sci-fi movie, which it takes like all of your elements, all of your favorite things you've seen from the best sci-fi movies over the last 20 years, puts them all in the same movie, much like Duncan Jones did with Moon. Mm-hmm. It felt like all like 2001 and parts of Alien and all these great movies that
homage
I love as kids.
Homage to Alien.
Homage. And puts them all together. And then the last third, it becomes a zombie fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's like, what the
hell? I can't believe
you
spoiled on it.
Well, because it's ruined anyways. I think I did this anyways when we were talking. It might have been worse than it's. Whatever.
Whatever it was.
But I think it's the best two-thirds of a movie that Danny Boyle's ever directed.
There's a solid two-thirds of a film.
Got a great vibe to it. Just great.
There's a few good moments that have stuck with me. I won't discuss them on because they're sort of spoilerish, but some good individual moments.
Check it out, but don't send away for it. Is it available on Instant?
No, I sent away for it. Had to.
Yeah, unfortunately, no movie that I talk about today is going to be available on Instant, except for the very last movie, which is like a bonus episode that I'm going to throw in there as maybe the ultimate revenge movie.
Wow.
However, I haven't seen it in years.
Oh, my God.
But it's available Instant, and that'll be the only movie that's Instant.
I also saw a film that flew under my radar. I barely remember anything about it. Don't remember even wanting to see it at the time, but saw Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
2002, directed by Sam Mendes, his follow-up to American Beauty, starring Tom Hanks, Paul Newman, Jude Law, and Daniel Craig. Underrated Daniel Craig in this film.
Pre 007.
Yes.
Daniel Craig. What did you like this little movie?
I did like it.
Okay,
I would give it about a B+. It was a solid film.
I went in, to the theaters. Oh boy, Sam Mendes' first movie since that American Beauty, which is one of my favorites, five-year period. And I was, very disappointed because it was nothing like American Beauty.
No, it's nothing.
Nothing like it. So it'd be interesting. I'm interested that you liked it after all these years.
I went in with zero expectations and was enjoyed it. It's very operatic at times. There's very little dialogue in some parts of the film. It looks fantastic.
Period piece of
cinematography
the 30s.
Yes, is it 1930? I think it is actually. Cinematography by Conrad Hall, who was – I think he died actually shortly after making the film and won the Oscar for cinematography. His son, Conrad Hall, accepted the Oscar on his behalf.
Poignant.
It's good stuff.
Poignant.
It's a really good story, and or eventually, it turns out, Tom Hanks sets out to avenge the murder of his wife and his youngest son, an assassination attempt gone awry, and it was definitely a contender for my top five list of revenge films. Is a revenge movie through and through, and good to see Tom Hanks is sort of an ass kicker.
It's not an ass kicker is his son. Boy, he's kicking the ass of Dexter as far as ratings go, and the show being good, just beating the fuck out of it.
Colin Hanks?
Ruining Dexter.
I don't know what you're talking about. He's on Dexter?
You don't watch TV. Yes.
No.
And he's single-handedly ruining it. Ruining it. Yeah.
Okay, so I saw that.
I wouldn't have agreed with you at the beginning of the season, but now I'm kind of on board with that.
And it's so obvious that Edward James almost doesn't exist. It's all in his head. It's like a Tyler Durden goddamn thing. It's so upsetting. How many times do they have to do this?
TV show of a bad show.
I still love it, though, man. It's like I can still see the hotness in her eyes. She's just fat.
Who?
Old.
Oh, like a girl.
Yeah, okay. It's like Dexter's like a girl.
Yeah. God damn it.
Who's Mos Def was good, though.
who's gone to pie. Speaking of Mos Def.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a perfect segue. I saw a movie Mos Def was in. Mm-hmm. A documentary, what? My number one Sundance film from this year, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, directed by Michael Rapaport. Produced by three friends of mine, mm-hmm. Frank Maley, Niraj Bhatia, and Dan Burks. Sup, dudes? I got to say that to my guys. Hold on, let me get a clean one of that. Sup, bros?
Stop it, please.
Yes, I saw the film, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, available now on Netflix. It is a documentary about Tribe Called Quest, Q-Tip, Fife Dog, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, and Jarobi White, the members of the group. Almost like a history of East Coast rap, Anderson. Do you know anything about East Coast rap?
Fuck yeah. Homie.
Yeah. I think you do.
I absolutely do.
Okay. Well, I didn't. So this is
East Coast stuff.
It was very educational.
Suge Knight and...
No, that's West Coast.
And, well, I know, but they're mad at the East Coast.
Yes.
Because of Biggie Smalls and Tupac.
This is before that. This Macabelli. Is like late 80s, early 90s.
Ice-T
like
East Coast rap. And Ice Cube.
It's very educational. Sounds like you should see this film.
Pookie.
This is a good documentary.
Of course, you have Electric Boogaloo.
Pookie. The best part is you can feel like Rapaport has like genuine like love. Like you hear him talking off camera. You never see him on camera. You hear him talking off camera a lot to the interview subjects. And he's going off the top of his head. A lot of hip-hop knowledge. He has a genuine affection for both the band and the genre in general. Even like for like the horrible fashions of the time. You know, like the hip-hop fashions of the late 80s. That's an extreme example, but like, you know, everyone's wearing like ridiculous colors and huge, you know, flowing pants and shirts.
They get their hair wet. And then when I say they, I mean like people of the early 90s, mm-hmm. white guys too.
Mm-hmm.
And they put their a pot over their head.
What?
A planted pot.
No.
Yeah.
Potted plant?
A potted plant. Like a pot. And then they take it off after 3 days. And,
no,
that's
not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Potheads. But potted heads.
Is that why?
Look,
that
that's what it looks like. Kid and play. Kid and play. Yeah.
Now
Heavy D died today.
Maybe D. Well, he wasn't clearly living D. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was right in the name.
My buddy used to live in his
Beats,
his
Rhymes, and Life, a fine film. Glad I finally saw it. And if you do like the genre, if you're a rap aficionado, you'll love it. And if you're just interested in learning more about music, like I was, this is a area of music I know really nothing about. So very much entertained, very much educated. Go see Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Beats, Rhymes, and Life. I was saying that my buddy used to live in the same complex as Heavy D.
You
cut me off. It's important that I get that out there.
Yeah,
not
please.
As important, though, as Jack and Jill. Holy shit, how good does this movie look? Let's talk about current movies.
We're talking about like good or great?
Jack and Jill.
Why are we all of a sudden talking about current films?
Because certain current films that are coming out, Brian, we cannot let them slip by us without talking about them. And they warrant... You know what I mean?
That's a good point. We should break our rule. We try to keep the show timeless.
Not for many movies,
classic.
But every now and again.
Right.
Jack and Jill, I think, is one of the exceptions we should make. Holy fuck, does this look good. Huh?
Good or great?
Exceptional.
Okay.
Exceptional.
Noteworthy?
Very noteworthy. I think it's a lock that we see Adam with the golden statue at the end of the year. He might get two.
That's right.
He could get two for this role.
Strategically timed for its release so the Academy members have it fresh in their mind.
God damn it.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they give him two Oscars for playing two roles?
That would just
best actress.
Like, you know, that would be really funny if we found out somehow that the world was ending.
Right.
Like, you know, next, like 2012, like it's supposed to. And
yeah,
this is
like
going to be
sunshine,
the last Oscars.
Like sunshine.
They should just say, fuck it, and say, you know what? Let's just go crazy this year. No one else knows. Only somehow in some weird twist of fate, only the Academy knows that the world is ending.
Sure.
And
are smarter than us anyway, so of course they'll find out first.
They gave them actor and actress.
Yeah.
God, that'd be good.
That'd be amazing.
That would be
fantastic.
I would
love to see that acceptance speech is plural. That's it. Flick Fashions. Those are the films I've seen.
You know what, though? There was some really good CGI and some good – if the movie –
You saw Jack and Jill.
Took a weird twist of fate and Jack banged Jill.
Oh, my God.
It'd be – because it would be incest.
Would they have to get drunk and masturbation?
And he was making those like, stop looking at me, swan, faces while he's banging him.
Sure.
Fucking Adam. He used to be one of my favorites. Oh, Sandler. How far have you fallen? Okay. Sorry, there's an ad on IMDb staring at me.
You're looking right at it.
Mm-hmm.
You're easily distracted.
Yeah.
There's something shiny in front of your face.
Gotta turn
off
the TV.
Let's talk real quick about the trip that Logan and I took.
Must be.
Two fun facts about Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I don't know any girl that does this, but went into the bathroom. Logan and I shared a hotel room. Went into the bathroom and saw a loofah hanging from the shower.
No.
And I was like, oh, this must be one of those hotels where they – give you a loofah because some hotels give you a shower cap. Uh-huh. I'm like, wow, I've never seen this before, but it's a Holiday Inn Express. I know they do things a little differently over there. Mm-hmm. And but it was wet after Logan had taken a shower.
Yeah, okay,
so I'm like,
I get it.
Maybe
get
he
it.
Used the loofah. I'm like, Logan, there's a loofah in the shower. He's like, oh, yeah, that's mine. You brought the loofah.
I realized that when you said you found a loofah in there in your chair.
Logan, what the fuck?
All right, I needed one for my house, and I was in your neighborhood way too early.
Why did you
left.
Need a loofah? We don't need to hear about where you bought it and all that. Why?
Because I use liquid soap.
So do I.
So what, do you rub it on with your hands?
Yeah.
That doesn't disperse it.
You
hey,
realize
when
the
you
2 days,
when you work for a living, buddy, and you got calluses on your hands
wait,
like I do.
They have washcloths.
I work with the earth.
Every hotel I've ever been in has multiple
washcloths. Are too rough for my skin.
And a loofah isn't.
For my sensitive skin.
You guys ever seen hairless. Stripes? You he ever seen hairless. Stripes? Movie Stripes? Classic. Bill
yes,
Murray.
Of course.
John Larroquette staring, peeping at the women taking showers. Remember this? In the beginning,
yeah,
towards
kind
the end of the movie?
And
he's looking through the binoculars and he's just talking to himself going, oh God, if only I was a loofah.
And it's,
what
it was
give to be a loofah.
It's not
he
like
wanted to be a loofah, so that he could be like caressing yeah, the
loofah.
He
could be on their boots.
That would be pretty sweet to come back and be a loofah, like at the playmate house. Playboy
it's not
house.
A loofah on a stick or anything. Major. It's like one of the little Bali
right.
ones.
Yes, we get it. You're a metrosexual hipster who gets fired a lot.
Can I be honest with you?
Did you try the loofah out?
I use a loofah.
Did you give it a shot? How was it? Your head looks a little shinier than normal.
Yeah, it was exfoliated. It was
did
fantastic.
You really use it, though?
No, of course. I'm not going to use someone's loofah.
Why not? It's clean. It's got soap. It's covered in soap.
That's a really good point. Yeah. If I could go back and do it, I would have.
What's creepy is, like, was it one of those loofahs that actually lived at the bottom of the sea at one point? It was an actual sponge. Those are fucking weird. It's
snorkeling.
Like, hey, this thing used to be alive.
Okay. Thing number two about Logan from our trip.
It's a corpse. It's a carcass. Rub your body on it.
Our trip involved young girls who had lost teeth.
What?
Yeah, they're 6-year-old girls. They're missing teeth.
Oh, okay. When you say young girls,
they have lost teeth.
Okay.
Yes, missing teeth because that's what happens to the 6-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. And parents and I said to the parents, I'm like, hey, well, what question for you? What's the tooth fairy paying these days for teeth? Because the kids are right there next to them. I'm like, what was that tooth fairy paying? Like, oh, they're paying a dollar or gold dollars. They're paying like you know the limited blah blah blah. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Blah blah. Blah. That's, when I was a kid, it was always blah blah blah, whatever it was. And Logan, right in front of the fucking kids, goes. I stopped believing in the tooth fairy when I was 10 years old.
You dumb motherfucker.
I felt horrible immediately after I accidentally
Did you have siblings,
slip.
Logan?
She was like, buried into her video game.
Do you have siblings, Logan?
The parents
I
covered the kids' ears.
And you know what a quick save would be? It's like you just talk about that movie that The Rock was in. You stop believing in that being a good movie halfway through.
I didn't want to keep talking about it because I knew I'd make it worse if I did. So I just shut up right then. I mouth, I'm sorry to the mom.
Can I ask, though, that you guys not go on any extended dates without me? I'm getting quite jealous and I feel left out.
Oh, well.
It hurts.
Next time you can ruin some kid's childhood.
It hurts.
And use Logan's loofah. Coming up next, top 5 revenge films. I'm a film vault. Revenge movies, the countdown, next. Hey, y'all. Quick break from the top five to tell you about our sponsor for this episode, audiblepodcast.com/TFE.
Audible's back.
They're back. We did such a great job last time you guys did and clicking through and checking out audiblepodcast.com. They're back for another episode. And part of the deal is we recommend a book to you because if you go there, audiblepodcast.com/TFV, you get a free download.
Free.
So what's better than free? Go there and check it out. One book that you can check out is the audiobook version of a movie that is a great revenge movie. Did not make my list, but was very, very close. The Bourne Supremacy. The final book in the Bourne trilogy, where Jason Bourne gets his revenge on the CIA agents who stole his identity and his life.
No spoilers.
Sorry. Well, that happened in the first book. This is the third book, audible.com, audiblepodcast.com, right?
/TFE. TFE.
You can get the free audiobook download
What's
right
TF-
there.
What's TFE stand for?
I'm not sure, but it's a clever grouping of letters that we should...
The film vault. Why is it clever? It's a clever grouping
Sounds
of
fantastic.
Letters.
Audiblepodcast.com/TFE. Free download. Check it out. Yeah, welcome back. Logan, I'm sorry. If you have any embarrassing stories to tell about me, go ahead. From the road.
You put me on the spot.
Okay. I was going to say, there's nothing embarrassing about me. I'm a very conscientious traveler.
What if Logan's like, you proved to me that you still believe in the tooth fairy? Don't fuck.
Thank you to Manatee Anderson, you're a lover of the sea. Manatee, our feature artist.
Those are sea cows, Manatee.
From Oakland, California. Oaktown.
They're called sea cows.
Self-titled album available now. ManateeTheBand.com. That's two E's there in Manatee.
Are they signed? I feel like I've heard of Manatee before.
They had a pretty good-looking website, so
they've been around for a while.
There's label support.
I've heard of that Manatee.
ManateeTheBand.com. Check them out, AndersonandBrian.com, too. Mm-hmm. There's a featured artist section, as well as a sponsors button. You can check out all of our sponsors.
As well as, you know, I was thinking about this, Logan. As we're talking about movies, and, you know, a lot of them, maybe we can use the listeners, too. Maybe let Logan know, or let's, like, through the website or whatever, movies that we've talked about that made our list that, you know, come up quite a bit. If they're start streaming instantly, let us know, and we can put a little alert out, and we can have, like, movies that have been talked about in the past that are currently streaming on Netflix. Fuckflix.
Yes, you're making more work for me.
Okay, maybe you can put a little like star next to it, though.
We're going to talk about actually giving Logan some money today, but I think that he just fucked himself out of that.
That's good thing. Good thing, because I'm not in favor of that.
There's already zero production to the show. Zero. He thinks about giving us this little sheet with like the same shit on it every week.
Yeah. I'm constantly making corrections. Not corrections, but I'm making adjustments.
Here's what Logan does for the show. You're hearing a lot.
No, he does press. He does press record.
Oh, that's true. Sometimes. Okay, let's do this. I'm kidding. Logie, don't want vengeance on me, too, like you do over at the Ace.
Speaking of which,
do you think if you shot up the Ace Now network, all two of them that are still over there, do you think that we would we would be implicated?
Yes.
Because of this?
Like a bar that overserves its patrons and lets them drive home? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'd be engendering Logan's revenge.
Mm-hmm. Would you shoot Brian, too?
What?
No, I'm just going to say that you both inspired me, too.
Yeah. Like a video game. Like a violent video game.
Okay.
Revenge films.
How is it over there? You doing all right?
It's great.
Yeah.
Things are going good. Things are running smoothly.
Running smooth.
Yeah. We like it over there.
Now let's talk vengeance.
Vengeance. Revenge films. I came across a number of films. I call it the sort of the Godfather corollary. I came over the Godfather on many lists. Godfather, not a revenge film. There are many revenge elements in it, being that it is a mob movie. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, when coming up with my list, the revenge film, the entire film, the vengeful act must
it does not define the movie. It does
act
not define
it. Must provide the vengeful event.
Right.
You are getting revenge. The entire film is about your seeking vengeance.
Right. And there's definitely plots, subplots in Godfather's and pretty much any gangster movie where there's going to be vengeance going back
Absolutely.
And forth. But it does not define the movie. It does not drive the movie, propel the movie forward.
Right.
At times it does, but I mean the movie could have cut out vengeance. Vengeful plots in that movie and still had The Godfather.
And in doing my research, came across a number of films that would definitely fit in the revenge genre. I'm curious to see if they're on your list because I don't know if any of – we'll see if my films can be considered in the revenge genre. But we'll see.
I don't know. There's a whole rape and revenge genre that kind of sprouted exploitation films from the 70s. I don't have any of those.
Oh.
Also, I don't have any Asian films.
What?
I know that we can never do this, Brian, because you don't like to watch movies. But we could. I could have filled out my entire list with nothing but the old Asian revenge films. They love their vengeance over
it's Asia. A strong genre.
And then, you know,
I mean, I said genre this
but
episode.
Also, it should be mentioned – Genre Boy, that we can do two of these episodes. We will do another Vengeance episode later. So as a result, I'm not going to be doing a ton of like also-rans. And also check out this one. I'm just going to stick to my list.
You know what I had tonight for the first time? Mm-hmm. Mexican Coke.
The real sugar?
Yeah.
Everyone's ranting and
like
raving about
from
that.
Mexico.
You know what? You're talking to a guy that drinks nothing but water and diet beverages, so I don't get to partake.
That was the first soda I'd had in years.
Could you tell the difference?
I really kind of couldn't. You know
Maybe
why?
Maybe because you haven't had one in years.
That's exactly why I think it is, because like, this tastes just like Coke to me. It was good.
How does this fit into revenge?
By the way, on our weekend trip.
Is that the revenge of New Coke?
The weekend trip when the guy picked us up in Denver, he had a little sign. Guess what it said?
It said Mr. Bishop.
Nope. It said Logan.
Why did it say Logie? Why, Logan?
You must have assumed he was in charge.
I thought I made a joke like, oh, look, my ride's here, just thinking it was some other guy. And then all of a sudden he started walking towards me and I was like, wait a minute, he's our ride.
Who set this whole thing up?
Brian did.
Well, then who gave him Logan's name? whatever. That airport, pretty fucking awesome. Though,
it's
right?
huge.
It's like the most expensive airport in the United States.
Yeah, it's humongous.
And if you listen to Art Bell at all, or the late right coast to, late night coast to coast, they'll tell you that the spaceships are underneath that airport.
Mm.
A lot of secret stuff goes on at that airport, Brian.
You know, I will say
it's like the biggest circus in the world.
The our fan right? in Denver who Giant picked tent. Us up, Bill. Mm-hmm. What's up, Bill? I would say fan of Corolla Show.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger fan of Film Ball.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Don't blame him.
I don't. You're really good, Brian.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. Top five revenge films. Let's get right into it. You want to go first or should I?
You love your number one, don't you? Yeah, I actually do.
Okay, you go first. I'll go first.
My number one is a movie that I've never – a lot of the movies that I have on this list are movies that I have not really – I love, but I've not had much of a chance to talk about.
Okay.
So here we go.
Here we go.
I'm excited about this list.
Number five, Romy and Michelle. Oh,
Hell to the Yeah.
No, sorry.
That is hilarious, Brent. Make your goddamn joke.
Number five is.
Brian, having sex with you must be the worst thing in the world for poor Christy.
Oh, I imagine it's pretty horrific, yeah.
Because it's just the lead up, the antissa.
But the girls love that, Anderson. Don't they love the.
No, they like the foreplay, but I don't think he even gets the foreplay. Because there's no foreplay with your goddamn.
The pre foreplay is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Last days.
Go.
I'm like, I'm going to make love to you 2 days from now.
Well, my ears are feeling raped. Go.
Same thing I said to Logan, by the way, when you're in Denver.
I don't want to hear any more about this goddamn trip. Please.
Number five is a Best Picture winner from 2000.
I don't like it.
Gladiator.
Mm-hmm. Came up on a lot of people's lists.
And I love this film, and I hadn't thought about it in quite some time. Directed by Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Starring Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix. The story of Maximus. Russell Crowe, he's a general in Marcus Aurelius's army.
Mm-hmm.
Aurelius wants to cede temporary power to him instead of his son, Commodus, before eventually returning power to the Roman Senate. Upon learning this, Commodus, Joaquin Phoenix, enraged, kills his own father and orders the execution of Maximus and his family. Maximus escapes, only to find his family murdered. He's found unconscious, sold to slave traders, Anderson, North Africa. He's forced to fight as a gladiator. He eventually makes it all the way to the Colosseum, the pinnacle of gladiatorship, with the sole intent of avenging his wife and his kid's murder and killing Commodus, the emperor, which he does. Spoiler alert. And hand-to-hand fight to the death.
Now, can you please run down the first 100 names that you see in the credits after all that happens?
No.
I mean, you just ran through the gauntlet, entire fucking movie.
Yeah,
and I'd be upset, and I want to cut you off if I love this movie. I just saw it as a remake of Spartacus 40 years after the fact, and not as good. Not as good. I like Spartacus more.
What you said is maybe true, but this is a really good movie.
It's okay.
It's right. Okay.
It's all right.
It's a Best Picture winner,
you
buddy.
You know what? It's the Russell fucking Crowe.
Oh.
I can't. But Joaquin Phoenix, I think he won for Best Supporting for this, right?
I think so.
Fantastic. And I was watching 8mm the other day. It was on HBO. And I had it
not
in the background.
Film.
No, I love 8mm.
I'm thinking of Snake
Enjoyed
Eyes.
It very much. Nicolas Cage. And it made me realize that I just miss that Joaquin. I miss him. You know, is
I almost watched I'm Still Here.
Don't, because you'll never be able to accept him back. Because I can't. I mean, he's dead to me.
Really? After that?
He'll have to be a really good actor because he's such a fucking tool in that movie. And they say, oh, yeah, it's a big joke. But, I mean, we talked about it on the show.
Right.
That was a real life occurrence.
That was not joking.
It was Charlie Sheen, but all shot on video and put together as a movie.
You know what Maximus's quote is from this film?
Spartacus is better. I am Spartacus.
That's the deleted scene. Quote, I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Mm-hmm. I like the little kid that used to talk to him in the jail cell.
Yeah.
That kid was cool. Also, I think it was one of the first movies I've ever seen where they use like that drop frame effect when the tigers come up and he's out there in the
what's the drop frame effect? I don't know what that is.
Or like it's kind of like choppy, like it's missing a frame every now and again.
Oh, Ridley Scott does that. That's a great effect. He does it in Hannibal and he does it in Black Hawk Down. He does that fantastically.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah, his stuff looks great.
All right, my number five.
Gladiator number five for me.
Logan, how far are we into the Seggy?
10 minutes.
Minus my 30 seconds because I got the coffee.
10 minutes minus 30 seconds. Nine and a half.
I spilt it on my crotch.
Oh.
I'm going to be suing.
Who are you going to sue for that?
Wait till you see this woman's crotch. I'm excited to talk about hot coffee next
I don't
want to
see anyone's
week.
Crotch.
She got vengeance from McDonald's.
Oh my God, vengeance.
Okay, my number five, Dead Man's Shoes. Talked
about
it a couple weeks ago.
I saw this film in many lists.
Had you heard of it before?
No. Well, you talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Good save, Brian. I talked about it, and actually that's kind of what got this list going again.
Right.
So I almost omitted it, but really it is the ultimate revenge movie.
Wow. Ultimate. It's only number five on your list.
It's about a soldier who goes away to war, and his mentally challenged brother is fucked with by a bunch of do-no-gooders. Does that make sense?
No. Ne'er-do-wells?
Ne'er-do-wells. Yeah. Ruffians.
Sure. Hooligans.
And he comes back from war, and he seeks out vengeance one by one.
But this is not an American film.
No. So?
No, I'm trying to get my mind straight. Wait, subtitles?
But check out subtitles? Dead Man's Shoes. It should have had subtitles. I would have enjoyed it a little bit more because much like Trainspotting, I had a hard time with that thick guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, thick.
But like I said a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago when I was flip-fasting this, it is not a movie for everyone. It is very violent at times. It is very dark. It's fairly depressing, and it feels like a very well-made student film at times. But I loved it. I actually watched it like 1.5 times, and I really appreciated the fresh randomness of some of his kills. It's like, what? Why is he in a suitcase? Why? If you see this movie, that'll cross your mind as well.
Where's it
Why
going?
Is he in a suitcase? Why is he inside of that suitcase? Very choppy, a lot of handheld, really gritty, really guerrilla feeling movie. But very likable actors and characters. And I look for more from Shane Meadows, director, writer.
Mm.
All right. Dead Man's Shoes inspired this list to be done earlier rather than later, Brian.
All right.
Dead Man's Shoes. Did I say that?
You did.
Number five, Dead Man's Shoes.
Number five for me, Gladiator. And I should have prefaced that, by the way, by saying Gladiator, the only I'm coming up with a few. My next three selections will be less obvious. That is a very obvious choice. My next one, shockingly, I didn't find it on any lists on the internet. Or I don't think it was. I'll be interested to hear from Logan if it was ever submitted once by a listener. But Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Are we going to have crossover, by the way? We should have talked about that before.
Very unlikely. Okay. Extraordinarily
Why is
unlikely.
That?
Because okay. I have three films that are not obvious.
Are you getting cute?
One of them is going to get cute, but I fucking stand behind it 100%. This one, though, Anderson, let me ask you a question. Why can't the bad guy get revenge?
Mm-hmm.
This is a film where the bad guy gets revenge.
Ooh.
And you know what? You're rooting for him anyway.
Oh, are you?
1995.
Probably not a bad guy, then.
The Usual Suspects. Directed by Bryan Singer. Guy. Yeah. Kaiser Soze. The entire film is Kaiser Soze exacting revenge on the guys who have wronged him in the past. Mm-hmm. And I thought of it. Because I thought of the scene where Kaiser Soze, the story of Kaiser Soze, he takes revenge on the people who – remember the guy who was holding his wife hostage and his kid hostage. He kills his own wife and kid, then kills the other Hungarian, lets the one guy go. And he says, warn your friends. And he fucking kills the guy, the families of his enemies. He kills the friends of his enemies. He burns down their houses. He burns down their places of work and stuff like that. He's gone. And I thought, that's a great scene of revenge. And then I thought, the whole movie, without giving too much away, because I am aware that...
You just kind of did.
No, I gave away one scene.
Yeah.
But that was a lot. That was one scene.
That's right.
It was literally one scene.
Okay.
In flashback.
I don't even remember that scene.
Okay.
I love this movie, but I'm trying to piece it together in my mind how it would be.
Because, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to look at my notes real quick.
But are you going to give it away by explaining? So be careful.
No. About a
Most
third...
everyone knows, though, right?
Yes, but I'm not going to give that
it's
part
so
away.
So goddamn good.
But about a third of the way through the film, Kobayashi, played by Pete Postlewaith.
He's dead.
He's dead. Explains why Kaiser Soze has assembled this team. You don't know it's Kaiser Soze assembled this team, but it comes out that he has, and he did it because all these people have wronged him. Keaton hijacked a steel truck in New York in 1981. Fenster and McManus hijacked a cargo plane full of gold and copper wiring. Hogney stole a truck full of gun parts belonging to Soze and Kent. Right. Verbal Kent conned a courier out of $62,000. Holding money for Kaiser Soze. So all these people have in their past criminal history wronged Kaiser Soze, and he puts them together as revenge in order to get revenge for their crimes against him. He puts them together to whatever they're doing. They're robbing a boat, but it's ostensibly robbing a boat. They're actually getting a rub. They're going to rub out a witness.
You're going to rub out what?
A witness.
You're going to rub out what?
I'm going to rub one out.
Brian, come on. Done. Keep it
It's
classy.
A revenge
Keep
film.
It classy.
It's a revenge film where the bad guy gets revenge, and it's delicious revenge.
Delicious.
Delicious.
Who is Kobayashi? Who's you know what? I need a little revenge on Bryan Singer.
Why?
Because I saw so many shitty movies after this one because I followed Bryan Singer wherever he went like a blind sheep.
You know
what?
You know my thoughts on X-Men 2. That's a great
pupil.
Film.
I love X-Men 2. I do. After Pupil.
Didn't see much. It. It's on my queue.
He made a couple other. But yeah, Bryan Singer, he's not come back to – but once again, the script was so goddamn
did
good.
Did he do the new Superman movie? He did, right?
Yes.
It wasn't that good.
He did.
There were some good moments, but overall not a good film.
Yes. Not uninspired.
No.
Uninspired.
Absolutely.
All I remember
by
about
numbers.
That
Paint
is,
by numbers.
Is a bullet not hitting his eyeball because his eyes were made of steel.
Yeah. Paint by numbers, Anderson.
Very paint by numbers.
But X-Men 2, fine film.
Yes. You know what? Usual Suspects was paint by numbers too, which is
the what?
Numbers. The numbers were great.
Oh, yeah. The numbers were fantastic.
Was this, 1985. Is this available on...
I don't know. I watched it on DVD. I have it in my collection. You can watch, if you come over to my house, you can watch it for free.
Is not available. That's upsetting.
But it's a fine film. Fine film of revenge.
Watch this.
And what?
Logan, you seen Usual Suspects there, buddy?
A long time ago.
Okay. Ooh, that's a no.
Back
that's
in
a no.
Like
a no.
7 years ago or
that's
so.
That's a no.
It was on at a party. Where
Logan
was
seven.
He was drinking some hipster vodka without a label. It said vodka.
Wearing tight
vodka.
Jeans.
Yeah. All right, Brian. I'm gonna do a little trivia here for you.
Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me.
The director of this is a remake.
Okay,
should mention that. Director was originally supposed to direct the original.
Oh, I love remakes.
Back in the '80s, but didn't. Michael Bay was once offered directing this movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Antoine Fuqua was offered to direct it.
Okay,
but couldn't. And I'll just tell you.
Oh.
Man on Fire.
Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
Man on
Washington.
Fire.
Washington.
Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Who actually got the role in Man on Fire because the story goes this, Brian. He went into a doctor's office. He ran into Tony Scott, the director of the movie, in there. Tony Scott was just watching a movie the night before with Dakota Fanning in I Am Sam. He was watching that. He's like, oh, she'd be the perfect little girl for Man on Fire. Right. And then he saw Denzel Washington. And after he had already kind of tried to get De Niro or Tom Cruise or Will Smith or Bruce Willis, who were all kind of on the fence right. about playing the crazy vengeful. And he saw Denzel Washington over at the hospital. And he's like, you know what? I think he'd be perfect for it.
I bet he saw him at Cedars-Sinai because Denzel's a big donor over there. His name on a bunch of walls.
Could be.
But this movie came out in 2004. What is the revenge plot of this film? Because I have not seen this or the original.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No. It's on my queue. So far, three of these films you've talked about have been on my queue.
And the original, it takes place in Italy. And like I said, he was supposed to direct the original, but they didn't think that he had enough oomph yet. Tony Scott hadn't – it was before he had directed Top Gun, I believe.
Gun.
And before, of course, True Romance. The original takes place in Italy. But this one, he moved it to Mexico City. And a former assassin swears vengeance on the people that committed unspeakable acts against the family he was hired to protect, which was a nice little pretty well-to-do white family.
It's always unspeakable acts, isn't it?
It is, but it leads you to believe that there's something really awful going on with the little girl. Thank God not. It's not that dark of a movie. But Dakota Fanning playing Pita, she is absconded with, and he goes after them.
Absconded with?
Big time. And there's some very funny lines in the movie. There's some very funny explosions that go off inside of people's bodies.
Okay.
And it's just one of those – it's very satisfying. I remember watching it in the theaters thinking, yeah, that's what you get. That's what you fucking get.
What you get for fucking with Dakota Fanning and her family.
Some interesting things God, I didn't take the notes on this.
Oh,
what the hell's wrong with you, Anderson?
The show was going along so well.
It was not really that going that well.
It was going well.
Well.
This is a mega break point.
Mm-hmm. It is? Okay, here, listen. This is very funny.
This is the fulcrum on which the show rests.
What? Any? I knew two of those words. Okay, in the original novel, it was based on a novel. The character in Italy, her name was Dakota's family. Fanning's character was named Pinta, but after director Scott changed the film setting to Mexico, he discovered that Pinta is Mexican slang for whore.
So it was puta. Same
Pinta.
Oh wow!
So you can't have Dakota Fanning with the nickname whore.
Absolutely not.
But this is just a straight up in your face vengeance. He just goes after them one by one. Very similar to Dead Man's Shoes as far as it being straight up vengeance. I mean, the whole movie is Denzel Washington being a badass and making the bad guys pay.
I will see this.
Yes. Very satisfying.
Coming up next.
Really? Already?
We got top three coming up.
All right.
You want to do it next? How long is the segment?
I'm down with it.
Yeah, it's coming up next. There's the music. It means Logan agrees.
My next three.
I like Logan only talking through the theme music.
Turns out Anderson loves the vengeance because almost as much as the agents. Because my next three, probably top 10, top 15 movies of all time,
for you
in my list. They could make my for sure top 25 movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
These three would make my if I can only have 25 movies in my library. These three would be in there.
Interesting.
They'd all be in there. Yeah.
I don't know if I can say the same, but I will say that number three is amongst the most clever of my top five selections of all time.
If you could only see his smugly preening face right now.
So smug. Coming up next, I'm going to be self-satisfied.
I really do.
Hey, podcast listener. While you're sitting there listening to podcasts, check out AndersonandBrian.com.
Brian with the Y?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the show, Brian, other than seeing your lovely face every single week and working with Logan, is really interacting with the listeners. I love it. And a lot of great stuff goes on over at AndersonandBrian.com.
Yeah, leave comments on the site. Check out a list of every film mentioned in every episode, which, by the way, is quite a comprehensive list.
Yeah, we should have a ding every time we talk about a new
Absolutely
movie on the show. Yeah, I think we should.
Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah, we're back. Thanks, Manatee. ManateeTheBand.com. Feature artist from Oakland. Anderson, one more tale from the road for me and Logan.
I was thinking about it, Brian. We should change, you should change, your tagline for the show or your catchphrase is, film vault.
Yep.
It should be, film vault.
Oh, it changed slightly?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. Because Logan and I saw a couple episodes of Storage Wars.
How could you not? If it comes on the TV,
I'll let Logan review the show.
Oh, really? You want to do that? Really?
I gave you my thoughts last time. I gave my exact thoughts.
Go ahead, Logan.
I don't understand how you can sit and watch all 24 episodes in one weekend.
We watched two when we were born.
I was over it in less than one episode.
Yeah, this is coming from the mouth of a man who says that Colin Hanks is good in Dexter.
Orange County?
Turn your mic off.
Dude, Storage Wars is not a good show.
Storage Wars is a great show. You both can suck it.
It's not a great show.
Yep, it's great. It's so goddamn satisfying. I enjoy that show thoroughly. It's perfect for what it is, which is fun. It's like Antique Roadshow.
The characters are losers.
I'm not trying to be the characters. I don't need to watch a show with a hero, for God's sakes, Brian.
But you want at least you? Like.
It's not like I'm like,
Don't you have to at least enjoy a reality show character? Like, unless it's like a bad guy. Like,
you guys didn't watch enough episodes because
I've seen like 20.
Why would you watch 20 if it's a terrible show and you're sitting here making fun of me for watching the whole season?
It's always on.
Which, by the way, there's only 19 episodes. And you know what? Turns out we live in 2011.
I've probably seen 8 episodes.
2011, there's like 700 channels on your TV.
Hmm.
How do you get stuck on the one that has a show you don't like? What are you doing?
Like a scab.
Who in your house
loves? Like a scab that I can't help picking. Well, like a loose tooth that I can't help tonguing.
They're getting you. Yeah. I love that Storage Wars. I stand behind it. I don't really. I like
Please
some
stand
of the characters.
Way behind it.
I wish that I liked more of them. Just in the beginning, the opening credits were.
It's so lame. That's exactly.
It's hilarious.
Where
like the one guy, I'm terrible
the
with
gambler.
Names. Yeah, that's stupid because he doesn't. That's the one guy that always goes home empty-handed. But like the one guy with his wife, and the wife, you could see her like in slow motion saying no, don't
just
bid.
Nagging.
And then he immediately just turns and bids right after she's saying no. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, it's hilarious.
It's not a good show.
Hey, listeners, check out Storage Wars. You know what? It's available on Fuckflix.
Oh, does it
streaming
really?
Now. You know what else is?
What?
Four of the five seasons of Twilight Zone. Oh, the glory.
Like the 1960s Twilight Zone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Don't say it like that, Brian.
Well, I thought you were going to say Twilight. Number three for me. Revenge films.
Is this one you think is clever? Yeah. Film ball. Try it. Just try it next week.
I found it on no lists and nor... In perusing the because I can see what the people nominated on the old Facebook there. None.
Wait,
nominated.
You looked on our Facebook to get submissions?
No. I just checked to see if it was on there because once I was done, I was so fucking pleased with myself.
Okay, I'm gonna translate why you're so pleased too, and what happened here.
Why?
Go ahead, get your pleasures out. Pleasure it up.
1983. Who says revenge film?
Poor Christy. Here it comes, honey.
Who says a revenge film can't be funny? Trading Places! Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, directed by John Landis. This is an great revenge film. The Dukes, Anderson, the Dukes, Randolph and Mortimer, they conspire to ruin Dan Aykroyd's life, Lewis Winthorpe III, and give Billy Ray Valentine a street urchin. They give him the shot of a lifetime. They say, can we make this man a success while ruining the life of another? And they ruin Billy or Lewis Winthorpe's life by planting drugs on him and framing him for a crime. They have him essentially expelled from his entire life, turned into a street bum, a common street bum. Mm-hmm. And he and Billy Ray Valentine, upon learning that he will be turned back into a street bum by the Dukes if they have their way, they conspire to take over the Duke's enterprise and ruin them, bankrupt them, if you will, and corner the market on frozen orange juice futures. Mm. A revenge film, Anderson.
Trading Places.
Trading Places, 1983. What do you think about that?
Who's in this movie?
What? What do you mean who's in this movie? Sandy Murphy.
Yeah, I don't remember that being the storyline at all. I remember them making a bet that they could take anyone and make a homeless person into a
essentially, broad strokes.
That's all I remember.
Randolph and Mortimer Duke ruined Dan Aykroyd's life. They ruin Dan Aykroyd's life.
I have no legs.
They make Billy Ray Valentine a.
So it's Aykroyd that gets that.
No, that's what because they're going to. Yes, and. Plan on sending Billy. Oh, we've had our fun. Let's frame Billy Ray Valentine now for a crime and get him back on the street so we can wash our hands of this whole affair. Mm-hmm. He finds out about it. He goes to Aykroyd and says, hey, man, they ruined both of our lives, or they're about to ruin mine. Let's put our heads together and ruin theirs.
Okay. All right, there's the revenge element.
Oh,
whatever anyone thinks about that movie, though, Brian, they're thinking about how Eddie Murphy was like a homeless dude, and then he was put in the place, and the pompous white man was laughing, going, "Look at this black street urchin. Let's see him, you know, ruin the company and laugh." And they had a little bag, like a dollar. It was a dollar. Yep. That's what you don't.
Spoiler.
You don't remember the Dan Aykroyd getting fucked over?
Of course you do.
I don't.
Well, I did, and I made it my number 3.
But now I do.
And by the way,
very clever.
The ending, the frozen orange juice ending, the corner in the market,
based on reality.
They passed a law just last year in 2010. They actually used this film in their congressional testimony as a reason to create the law against insider trading.
Speaking of laws, can't wait to talk about tort reform next week.
Yeah.
After you see Hot Coffee.
Hot Coffee.
Got in a debate with Dr. Drew about tort reform earlier tonight.
Debate.
No,
sorry,
I don't
know why I said that.
Got in debate. I don't know why you did either, Brian. All right, here's why.
Here's why
Trading Places is on Brian's list, and I am a dick, and I know that sometimes, and I apologize. But here's what I'm picturing: you're searching desperately, scouring the internet.
Okay,
there's that word again.
Yeah, scour.
Not scalding, which I didn't say. You fuck.
Scalding.
Last night, probably desperately going, oh shit, like little sweat beads flying off your head.
Flying.
Like a cartoon.
Well, when I have no hair, they just shoot out of my head.
And you're going, oh shit, here's another list. Haven't seen that. Nope, haven't seen that. I've heard that's good, but I haven't seen that. Haven't seen that. Oh shit. Haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that.
Wow. Have you been to my house? This is exactly how I do every week.
Is that what's going on?
This is the research
and
process.
What movies do I like? What movies have I seen?
Then I fire off an email to like my friends who have seen a lot of films. Yeah, they get some ideas.
No, honestly, Usual Suspects, very impressive. Very impressive. And Trading Places, I would not have never thought
it's
of
inventive.
It.
It's absolutely a revenge film. It's hilarious. It's an underrated Eddie Murphy classic. He gets a lot of credit, rightfully so, for 48 Hours and for Beverly Hills Cop. Trading Places, fine film, 1983. If you haven't seen it, I think it holds up. Check it out.
I agree. I like that movie quite a bit.
And Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs. Which, by the way, in 83 are pretty perfect.
You like her.
Well, I don't like her as much as they're
talking
great
about
boobs.
True Lies. And
I
heard she has
realize.
Testicles.
I heard that too.
In her belly. This movie, my number 3, I saw it probably 15 times in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Back when I used to be obsessively go see movies over and over and over. I've talked about it here on this show.
You scaled back.
I don't remember what list it came up on. I'm afraid it has been on a list. Okay. It was Amblin's first R-rated motion picture.
Wow.
Steven Spielberg was originally supposed to direct this movie. He would have ruined it because he would have had Bill Murray playing Max Caddy. Can you imagine
Max Caddy?
Caddy being played by Bill Murray. Can you imagine it?
Yes, that would have been interesting. Not as good, but interesting. Yes?
Interesting you would say that. Bill Murray. Please.
But it is, in fact, played by Robert De Niro.
Scorsese's first, we're talking about Cape Fear here,
Cape
of course.
Fear.
Another remake, back-to-back remakes on my list.
You do the thing you used to yell at me about, which is you gloss over the title too much.
What?
Cape Fear.
I glossed over what, the title?
The title.
Yeah, yeah.
Titles.
Movies like, I think that Cape Fear is like, it should be ingrained in everyone's brain, but maybe, I guess I could be
no,
wrong.
No, absolutely not. This film was flying under the radar, for sure.
This is one of three movies, Brian.
This is not
three,
a celebrated film.
Three Scorsese movies that could have made the list, and I picked this one because I think this one was more about revenge, where, once again, it's all about the bad guy exacting his revenge.
I think this is the closest
Max Cady.
This is the closest we're going to come to having crossover, because this literally is one of the two films that I almost put on my top five.
Robert De Niro paid a dentist $5,000 to make his teeth look bad for the role of Max Cady.
Wow.
After filming, he had to pay $20,000. This is all alleged. This is all stuff off IMDb and the old internets over there.
Sure. So it's totally reliable.
$20,000 he had to pay to get his teeth fixed up.
Wow. Well, he probably made $1 million off the film. Anderson, what's up with you? What's wrong with your notes today?
What?
What's wrong with your notes today? You're like not reading your notes all right.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm very tired. Scorsese wanted Nick Nolte's part to be played by Harrison Ford.
Nick Nolte is maybe, the main character.
Yeah,
main character.
Okay, here's the storyline in case you don't know. But it's about a very, very angry prisoner.
Yep.
Named Robert De Niro. I mean, when The Simpsons – I think you said it on the show. When The Simpsons have lampooned it,
Sideshow
parodied
Bob.
It. Yeah. Yep. Created entire characters and multiple shows about a movie. It's going to be kind of hard to spoil.
Yes.
But I'm sure there's some people out there that don't know the storyline.
Well, yeah, explain the revenge element. He feels wronged by his attorney, who's Nick Nolte.
Who's played by Nick Nolte. And he spent what you can assume is a number of years. So I don't know, probably 20 years or so.
He's been in prison for quite some time.
Quite some time.
Feels screwed by his attorney, Nick Nolte.
Tatted himself up with a bunch of vengeful tattoos.
Bible verses.
Were actually, you know what? They used vegetable ink, which fades after a few months.
Right.
They actually used vegetable ink to tattoo up actual De Niro.
That's what they do, right?
That's what they did in this one. Yeah. Yep. And don't act like that's just common knowledge.
No, but that's what they do when they want to give you tattoos in the movies.
And then
Ed Norton's big swastika tattoo.
And he spends his entire time in prison, Brian, just figuring out ways to make his body more ripped.
Yep.
And so he can come out and exact his revenge on his lawyer who sucked.
De Niro used to be in shape, man.
He was for this. He went got down to 3% body fat because they had a problem in the casting of the movie, because Nick Nolte, huge hulking man, it wasn't going to be really believable for the audience to see little De Niro going up. So they kind of switched, or Nick Nolte lost a bunch of weight, became frail for the role. Yes, and De Niro bulked up and became ripped.
Wow.
Yes. And he comes out and he goes after him and his family, Nick Nolte and his family. Juliet Lewis, at one point.
Still playing a teenager.
Thinking about Reese Witherspoon for the part. Drew Barrymore desperately wanted the part, and she blew it. She calls it one of her worst auditions ever.
This is part of a Juliet Lewis's 25-year stretch where she was playing teenagers.
Yes, God. I think this made my top five sex scenes.
Yes, with Ilya Douglas, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or maybe the thumb in the,
or the
in
thumb
mouth.
In the
There's
mouth.
A couple different sexual scenes that are inappropriate.
Didn't this
one
like an MTV Movie Award for best performance by an inanimate object, by the phone? They kept ringing while they were on the boat or something?
No, I don't know.
Okay, anyway, sorry. But the phone. Yes.
But then he bites off Ileana Douglas's cheek, which is a very disturbing scene. That De Niro came up with that on his own.
Yep.
From he did a lot of studying of sexual predators.
You're not spending enough time talking about the revenge elements of this film.
He came out and went after the family one by one.
Yep.
Yeah, and he also
he felt wronged, and upon his release from prison, went out to extract his revenge by first like harassing him and his family, and then like attacking, right?
Yes. I should have pulled clips. I mean, just getting at least his laugh.
It's a good drop.
Yeah, Stern uses that laugh all the time.
It's a good one.
Where he's in the movie theater smoking the cigar and doing the laugh, the Max Cady laugh.
And then doesn't what's his face? First of all, Gregory Peck's in it, who is the original.
And Robert Mitchum.
Yeah.
Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum were in the originals.
Yeah. And what's his face? Nolte sends like some thugs after him, and De Niro kicks all their asses.
Yeah. Well, I talked enough about the movie. If you haven't seen it, have seen it, you know it. And if you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
Yeah.
I saw it. I haven't seen it in a few years, but I saw it. I'm literally probably 15 times in the theater. It was like my movie that year.
It's a good flex.
I was obsessed with – that was when I was at the height of my love affair with De Niro. And
do you still want your favorite Scorsese films?
This one, Cape Fear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is top five Scorsese films for sure.
Nice.
But I could have easily put a couple others on there. You know what I mean? Taxi Driver could have been on there.
Kind of.
Gangs of New York could have been on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gangs of New York more than Taxi Driver, for
Taxi
sure.
Taxi Driver, he was exacting revenge on all the
society.
That was, yeah, and the pimp.
Kind of.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, kind of. Definitely Gangs
Not even
of New
so
York.
Much revenge. He was kind of going after him on her behalf. Anyways.
But he was crazy.
Christ.
Number two.
Yo. Number two for you.
Number two for me. My number three. Five.
How long are we into the segment? Jeez.
My number five family-friendly film of all time. It came up on a previous list. I've made the case for this being the best. You can make a case for it being the best of the original Star Wars trilogy. Talk about Revenge of the Jedi, or Return of the Jedi as it was known in theaters. But the first draft of the script, Anderson, up until like weeks before its release, they have posters saying Revenge of the Jedi.
Really?
Until Lucas said, no, a Jedi would never be consumed by something as petty as revenge. Mm-hmm. But it is about the revenge of Luke Skywalker, the Jedi.
Luke Skywalker was very petty, very often.
Yes, but not by this film. By this film, he was motivated by more altruistic notions. Okay. But I would say Luke Skywalker, I don't think I'm spoiling anything in this film. of course, at the end of Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader cuts off Luke's hand, freezes his best friend in carbonite, and vanquishes the rebellion to the brink of defeat. Luke returns to the Dagobah system and really goes on one of the greatest revenge streaks in film history. He completes his training, frees his friend, kills Jabba the Hutt, destroys Jabba's barge and everyone on board, enters the Death Star, defeats his father, convinces him to kill the Emperor, assists in the destruction of the Death Star, defeats the Imperial Republic, saves his father's eternal spirit, and restores order to the galaxy. That, my friend, is revenge on the Imperial Republic. Number two.
Oh, are you done? Sorry.
Revenge!
Jesus Christ, Brian. Really? How many times are we going to go over an entire fucking storyline of one of the Star Wars?
The film, this top five, Anderson, is about revenge. I'm explaining why this is my top five revenge
1999!
God damn it.
Movie about a very volatile and dangerous Englishman who comes to Los Angeles, Brian. I say comes because we're doing a show from Los Angeles.
Film.
You don't know what I'm talking about, obviously.
I do. Like this movie.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
The Limey?
Because The Limey is one of my all-time goddamn favorite fucking movies. What are you talking about? I love
it. I'm thinking of a different film that you don't like. Maybe, Out of Sight?
Out of Sight, not a fan of. This is what he made right out of it. Yeah, right after Out of Sight. Right. 1999. Right. Steven Soderbergh. Gotta love this movie. He comes to Los Angeles to find the man he considers responsible for his daughter's death.
Wait, is it in home?
What?
No, it's not Ian Holm.
No.
Who's the main character? Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp.
Oh, Zod.
Kneel before Zod. Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
I fell in love with Luis Guzman, who almost
or Lou
plays
Guzman.
Plays like a little, almost like a sidekick. It's where I did definitely first fall in love with Nicky Catt. Holy shit, I love Nicky Catt in this movie.
Where's he gone?
He disappeared. I love him. He's hilarious in this movie. He plays a despicable hitman. Talking to you, there's a great scene with many jump cuts where he's on he's on a playground and he's checking out watching the kids. And you can tell he's just ad-libbing his ass off, and they did a bunch of jump cuts to put together all his best lines. And one of them is like he's talking to his partner. Nicky Catt is playing the horrible, despicable hitman. And he says to his partner, he goes, off camera, you can't see the little kid he's talking about, but it's like nothing but 5 and 6 year old kids at the playground. He goes, she's pretty hot. I mean, for like a little kid, you know. She's gonna be hot later. He's like one of those horrible.
I gotta see this film again. I forgot all about it.
Really, really funny.
The Limey.
Got a great tone to it.
The Limey.
The main bad guy, Peter Fonda.
We gotta repeat our film titles.
The Limey. Steven Soderbergh's The Limey. I love the feel of this, the mood, the tone of this movie. Just really well shot.
I gotta see it again.
Great music.
Sound College.
Yeah, Peter Fonda plays a really creepy guy. It's kind of almost like a foreshadowing the Spect, right? What's that? What's the name of that guy? Spect.
What? Huh?
The guy that went to court and he killed that girl that was in. I don't know if it happened. No, who's Phil Spector?
Oh, Phil Spector.
Yeah,
sorry.
Kind of the same along the same lines of that. Imagine the girl that he killed has a crazy English dad.
Oh wow!
Coming after Phil Spector. Yeah,
Lana Clarkson.
Peter. Yeah, that's her name. She was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, she's not.
Lana Clarkson.
No, she's still in the world.
He killed her, but he didn't go out and cut her out of the movie.
That would be so egregious if he did that.
That would be pretty vengeful.
Yeah.
Vengeful. Peter Fonda plays Terry Valentine, the creepy Hollywood producer or music producer, whatever. Yeah, I think he's a music producer. This is a great movie. Unfortunately, it's not streaming live. This kind of brought my attention to Steven Soderbergh, and I've loved him ever since. However, some of his movies I don't like, but I see all of them. See them all. I don't know why I just said it like
over. I don't know why that.
I'm sorry, guys. I am completely out of it right now.
Yeah, you're a little zonked right now.
I'm yes.
When I came in here tonight, you were on the floor.
I did fall off my chair
soon
after you got here. I was up very late working on this ridiculous project.
Right? And didn't seem alarmed, by the way.
No, they're not alarmed with anything I do in the Love Line control room.
No,
they've seen it all. They've heard it all.
You were on the ground. It was actually almost sort of like a glass half full kind of thing. Yeah, he's on the ground. You'll be up
How
soon.
Is that half glass full?
You could be on the ground unconscious.
Oh, yeah.
During the show.
I have rants during the show in there.
Do we tell the story about...
I'm screaming and yelling, and I look around, and I notice like no one's reacting at all. It's like living in a town where there's just constantly fireworks, and after a while, you just stop looking at the sky. You're like, yeah, that's what happens.
You're going to be a great dad.
I'll be a fucking dad.
Do we ever tell the story about the Christmas party the night after? I mean, the night of the Christmas
party? No, we'll tell that one day, though. Today is not the day to tell stories about me urinating in public and yelling at strangers. Let's go.
Wait, did you urinate in public?
What? Yeah.
This is the night that I drove you home from the Carol Christmas party? Because I drove you to work?
Yeah.
And you spilled all the food and yelled at me to clean it up?
It wasn't really food. It was chips.
Wait, no, it wasn't chips. It was pasta salad.
It was not pasta
clean
salad.
It up.
It's totally evolved in your head. It was potato chips.
It was pasta salad.
Let's move on. We're talking about vengeance.
Clean it up.
Unless you're going to actually take vengeance for that night right now and make this apropos to what we're talking about.
Number one for me.
You're already on number one.
Number one.
What the hell's going on?
This is not the most vengeful movie of all time. The revenge elements are not the strongest. There are definitely movies with stronger revenge elements, ones we haven't mentioned. However, of all the films I considered for my top five, this is the best. Mm. It's a movie I can't believe we haven't talked about, I don't think ever on the Film Vault. I mean, we may have mentioned it, but it's never been in any of my top fives. I think you like this movie. I love this movie. In terms of movies that involve revenge, it's my number one.
Put it in, honey.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Are you wet?
Oh, my God. Ew.
Oh,
ew.
I don't know.
Brian, you just ruined everything.
I thought you spilled some coffee on yourself. Hot coffee.
Wait till you see her inner thighs, bro.
Oh, my God.
Horror show.
Memento!
Oh!
2000. Directed by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Starring Guy Pearce.
It's backwards, you know.
It's told in reverse. Sammy Jenkins.
It is backwards.
Sammy Jenkins. You ever hear about Sammy Jenkins? Mm-hmm. Played by Stephen Tobolowsky, by the way.
Tobolowsky, yeah.
Memento is a fine film.
It is a podcast.
I wanted this on my top five somewhere. I was doing my research. I remember reading it and being like, wow, this is a fucking great movie. I'm reading the plot summaries and I'm like, I fucking love this movie. I got to go back and watch it again. And
did you? And you're like, oh, why? What was I thinking?
Absolutely not. I want to go back and see it again. What are your thoughts on Memento? Do you not like Memento? Or
I was one of the only fuckheads who didn't like it that much. I wanted to, but I felt gimmicky. Irreversible.
It was gimmicky, but it was fantastic.
Irreversible is also shot backwards, also gimmicky. However, I love that one. This one, it was a bit gimmicky.
Mm.
I did run out and see Insomnia right after when his next movie came out.
That's on my cue.
That's awful.
Okay.
Good luck staying up for that one.
It's called Insomnia for a reason.
He didn't make another good one. I mean, he's a masterful filmmaker, but he didn't make another one that I liked until Dark Knight.
Well, Batman Begins.
I thought it was okay. It felt like The Last Samurai.
That could be a revenge film.
It could be.
Yeah.
But it felt like The Last Samurai. You know?
Interesting. Yes, yeah. There were some samurai elements to it.
Dark Knight was, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a Memento. The ostensible plot, Anderson, the de facto plot.
Don't use de facto. Do you even know what you're saying when you use de facto?
I just say it now, but like be that as it may.
For those of you who might not have heard last week, Logan used de facto and Brian jumped down.
I know,
his throat.
I feel terrible about that.
He actually ran in the other room, punched him, and came back in here.
That was very violent. It's an abuse of my power.
Literally.
It's ostensibly about a man, Leonard, played by Guy Pearce, who is searching for John G, mm-hmm. who has tattooed. I will say, if you have not seen Memento, you're not familiar with it.
Check it out. It's a very interesting, fun movie.
And Leonard, the main character, has no short-term memory. He forgets everything after a few seconds or a few minutes or whatever it is. So he cannot keep memories and he cannot store new memories. Mm-hmm. Everything fades away after just a couple of minutes. So in order to remember things, and he's searching for the guy who murdered and raped his wife. And so in order to find this person, he carries around with him a giant file on the case and also tattoos facts on his own body with pen and ink, with a needle, I should say, in pen ink, and he tattoos that he's looking for John G, a guy named John G, and that the license plate number of the car. And so there's little clues that reveal themselves throughout the movie. I will not say anything more about the film now, because the film really is interesting in the way it reveals itself subtly through layers, peeling back layers.
Don't you think that he would have just said, fuck it, this is too much work and too much pain, and I'm just going to like let myself forget, and I won't even like – I'll live in bliss. I won't even know what happened.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I read an article today from Slate.com about all the plot holes in this movie, of which there are many, but it's still very enjoyable. It's still very interesting.
It was interesting, but mainly for the reason that it was – because it was you'd never seen a movie that was shot – where you've seen the first scene last and last scene first. And I feel like he did that because he had an okay, decent movie and he wanted to – which was genius, but he wanted a movie that everyone was talking about. And I feel like it was a good movie. It was a fun movie, but it was a victim of itself because everyone around me was talking about Memento. Have you seen Memento? Oh my God, Memento's so good. Memento's the greatest. And I started becoming enraged, much like his other one that everyone was talking about last summer, Inception. It's like it's good. It's not the greatest fucking – it's not the second coming of Scorsese. I almost said Christ, but then I switched it out there. You like
Last
that?
Temptation of Christ?
It's not the second coming of Kubrick. And everyone had seen it. It was gimmicky. It was definitely fucking gimmicky. I thought it was a decent – it was a good movie and it was fun, but it wasn't worthy of all the goddamn talk that was going with it.
I'll agree with half of you when I'll say it's a decent movie. If the story was told forwards in a normal way, it'd be kind of a decent movie. Okay, pretty good story. Yeah. But I thought it was really inventive and I enjoyed the way that – the construct of the story revealed things in an interesting structure, like, you know what I mean, like
it got your brain thinking a little bit differently.
You would learn a little bit of information
each
way, and you're like, oh, that's where that came from. And maybe it didn't add up 100%, but it added up 99%.
And it was making your brain work in a different way when watching. Yes. Much like Elephant did with – I loved Elephant because it was overlapping stories, and you had to like piece together like, okay, now they're over here. And then you see the same people from a different angle, and you're like, okay, now – but that means we're the killers. Mm-hmm. And Gus Van Sant's the Elephant. I mean, just Elephant all about the Columbine killings.
Right.
Very similar, but gimmicky. But it makes your brain work and piece things together like you can normally win it. But
that's my number one. Memento. Okay.
All right. I'm surprised that you wouldn't have had one of your clever ones number one. I would have loved it if you did Usual Suspects. I would have done the high five.
Really?
High five, though.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Usual Suspects, my number four.
All right. My number one. I'm pumped up about this one because it should have been on list after list. It's one of my all-time favorites.
List after list.
I should never have an excuse to put it on a list as far as I know. I don't think I have.
Right.
You've made jokes that I have in the past. But oh no.
All right.
Brian, this was shot during the LA riots in 1992.
The Great Muppet Caper.
Wrong. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Every studio in Hollywood turned down the script until one Michael Douglas said, this is one of the greatest scripts I've ever read.
Defense.
We must make it.
Defense.
Defense. Falling Down, his revenge on society.
Yeah.
Holy God, I love this fucking movie.
It's a good
flick. Starts off with taking vengeance out on the freeway system by just saying, fuck it, I'm out of the car.
Forgot about this. The Nazi scene in the middle.
What's this? Faggot shit. God, I love Falling Down. Michael Douglas plays a middle-aged white man. He's supposed to be like late 30s, but he's actually in actuality. I think he was 50 when he made the movie, or 49.
Is this streaming?
He is. No. God damn it, it's not. And I wish it was. Very controversial movie. It's called racist at times.
I don't know if the movie is racist. The character
is a little bit racist. William Defense.
I don't know.
Robert Duvall plays the detective.
Footnote to this, Anderson.
Prendergast.
Footnote.
Prendergast.
Footnote.
Yeah. Barbara Hershey, the crazy bitch she is.
Isn't it easy to separate a movie being racist from a character being racist? Like a movie about a racist character. Like American History X isn't a racist movie. Like, but the characters.
It's a movie about racism.
Yeah. So, but like, I don't understand
why.
Okay,
here's – because they had – there's a lot of stereotypes in the movie. You got to admit that. Lots of stereotypes. Like he goes into a liquor store.
Yeah, a grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of Korean-owned grocery stores.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's – and then he goes out – there's a drive-by and it's gangsters and they're all Mexican.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Here's the biggest problem I had with that though. They weren't Mexican because the filmmakers were pussies, I think, and they didn't want to be accused of having Mexicans. So there is a Puerto Rican gang in the middle of Los Angeles. Bullshit. That was upsetting. That kind of pulled me out a little bit.
Do you – the one scene I remember not liking.
God, I love Falling Down.
The rocket scene. That was silly. That didn't belong in there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a joke. Like there's a little black kid in the ghetto explaining to him how to do the what are they called?
Bazooka. Or RPG or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He shot a bazooka down like a gas line.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top.
But the rest of the film was very good.
And it was like it was his sad attempt or his shoddy attempt at a little bit of humor in there.
Who directed this?
This is Joel Schumacher, who was one of the most chameleon-like directors. Yes. Listen,
I was inconsistent, but you say chameleon-like.
I'm going to say like he lets everyone who does their job well on set do their job. He's not really a visionary. He doesn't really put his own stamp. I think he's probably good to work with. I've heard nothing but good things from people who have worked with him. Here's the movies that he's directed. DC Cab with your boy.
Where are we starting now? What year is this?
This is 1983.
Okay.
Dan Aykroyd, right. DC Cab. St. Elmo's Fire, right. The Lost Boys.
Right.
Cousins.
Sure.
Flatliners. Okay. All right. Falling Down. Then he goes on to make The Client, dead Brad Renfro. Batman Forever, one of the first abortions of Batman. 8mm, which I was just talking about.
A terrible film.
Flawless. Remember that? With De Niro. And that Flawless is a forgotten movie. We need dings all over this shit because I'm going, ding, Flawless, ding.
You're just reading movies off IMDb.
I know. We're mentioning movies. We should do a ding for it.
There's no ding
for Robert De Niro and Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the transvestite.
Keep it going.
Flawless.
Keep it going.
Robert.
What else did he do?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He did Tigerland.
Yes. I don't like to talk about Tigerland.
Okay.
Phone Booth?
Yeah. Underrated.
Okay. Yeah.
Not great, but underrated.
And lots of movies you haven't heard of since.
Tigerland.
The Number 23, which I actively avoided.
Started to watch. Couldn't get through it.
Actively avoided.
It turns
that
off
movie.
After like 15 minutes. Bored as fuck.
If you have not seen Falling Down, I am envious of you because it is one of the most satisfying, hilarious, awesome movies. It's all about a man who – he's supposed to be every man. He's supposed to be the man who's just fed up with it, much like the movie I just saw,
like,
God Bless America.
Yes,
but this guy's got a family.
Clint Eastwood film, The Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, similar,
yeah.
Similar, but this guy's younger. He's earlier on in the game.
Yep.
Lives in L.A., so it's close to me because I live in L.A. A lot of people who listen to this podcast are Southern California people.
Right.
And there's a lot of horrible things that go on every goddamn day. Falling Down should be like De Niro, Corolla's a calling card. Right?
Sure.
Yeah?
To an extent. I mean, it's not as socially observed. It's more sort of broad. But there are some good moments in there.
Each time he goes to a new – he takes on a new – he's walking from downtown L.A. to Venice where his
wife – is that where he's going?
I
totally forget. I remember he ends up on a pier, right?
Venice pier, yeah. And he's walking and he decides traffic is too much, which I wanted to do so many times in L.A. where it's
didn't
just bumper to bumper.
Didn't this inspire the R.E.M. video?
He gets up. I don't care. No, Michael Stipe can suck it.
Everybody
and
hurts.
And he gets up and he gets out of his car and he just starts walking down the freeway. Have you seen this, Logan?
Oh, what are the
chances?
No,
I'm going to now.
Come on.
And he walks. He walks to Venice, and he comes across every stereotype, every horrible thing that LA has to offer, and one by one, with different weapons along the way, much like a video game. But before video games were in vogue, and they were making video game.
This is like Grand Theft Auto.
1993. A little bit like Grand Theft Auto, but not really at all.
There's some elements
because he's just taking vengeance.
But he just wreaks havoc on the city.
Sticking up for himself even more than taking vengeance. Because actually, he's just trying to get home. He's just trying.
All he wants is change.
All he wants to do is get home.
He wants his change.
He just wants some change. And Michael Douglas, like you never seen.
Who played his wife or his ex-wife?
Barbara Hershey. Barbara Hershey. It was a crazy bitch.
Logan, have you seen Memento?
Yes, I've seen Memento.
Of course he has. He's a hipster. It's a hipster move. Anyways, that concludes my list.
Nice. Good choice.
I promised a one instant because this would have been the first time in weeks, Brian, that I didn't have one instant to offer up.
Let's do it.
Here's the problem, though. This probably would have made my list. I have not seen this movie in years. I do love the movie. It's Sergio Leone at his best. However, Clint Eastwood
Once upon a time in the West.
Yes.
I've seen that movie. It's a great film.
It is really, really good.
Yeah.
The one problem I have with it, though, because I'm such a huge fan of the trilogy.
Peter Fonda.
Which you still have not seen, right? I gave you the goddamn trilogy
for
Christmas.
Yeah, I have it, but it's collecting dust.
You're a dick. Why don't you watch that?
It's my subtle F you to you.
Fistful of dollars, bro.
Yeah.
A few dollars more.
It's this incarnation's version of Cider House Rules.
Yeah, that's right.
Once upon a time in the West, 1968,
when we get
Sergio Leone.
This.
It is streaming right now. However, I was going to try and watch, at least have it on the background while I was doing other things. And I might have put it on my list. I couldn't have put it on my list. It's been like 10 years since I've seen this movie. But it's kept three different times I tried, and then I realized that it was stopping at the exact same time. Like 12 minutes in, it would just stop.
Frustrating.
Which I've never seen happen
like
before.
An actual disc?
No, the streaming. That's the whole point of me talking about
this
right
now.
It's instant watch.
I don't know why I said that.
But you can try it out on yourself. It's worth watching. However, it is 175
minutes.
It's a
classic of the genre.
175
minutes. I saw it in the theater.
So did I.
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater at LACMA. Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Saw it at the Italian consulate, or the Italian something in Westwood, wherever the Italian thing is.
Falling Down. I finally got to talk about it. Remember you used to make jokes and say Falling Down was my favorite sports film?
I
never quite understood that joke, but I went with it.
I don't remember that.
Hey, guys, I honestly apologize. I feel like I was kind of trying pushing through tonight. I'm definitely not as loose as normal.
It's a pretty good episode. Logan, yeah. Let's start top five. I want to hear what they said.
Number five, Memento.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Number four, Taken.
Yeah, I can see that. Satisfying. My brother loved it. My brother loved it.
Number three.
Nothing bad happens to him.
They're going to come.
He's never in any danger. There's never in any danger.
Talking about Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I feel like that's not true, but I haven't seen that movie in a while. So
there's at one point he gets knocked unconscious.
How? Yeah, that's it. But I knew he got hurt.
Literally
at
one point.
Came out like last year, didn't it? Or 2 years ago?
I have a bad memory.
Probably 2 years
ago. Yeah, me too.
Number three, Kill Bill.
Sure. How is this not on your list?
Which one?
How is this not on your list? They usually just say one and two because it's the same movie.
Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I feel like
David Carradine talked into this very mic right here.
Wow.
Yeah. I shot some of the last footage of him ever. You know that? They were showing it on TV, actually. Cape some of the
Fear,
footage that I shot.
Cape Fear and Kill Bill was David Carradine. The two movies that could have been my list most easily. I feel like you would have derided me for putting Kill Bill on the list.
Oh, and I wouldn't have for Revenge of the Jedi.
It's a fucking great revenge film.
Number two, Payback.
Oh, how about that? Mel Gibson film.
A little curveball.
I love that Mel Gibson.
That's a kind of a funny movie.
Remember, the whole thing was blue. Yeah. It was all shot like blue.
What? I don't remember that.
It was all blue.
I just saw that
tones.
Like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Whatever.
You know what I like? A Mel Gibson movie that's kind of underrated is Maverick. I like that Maverick. And I
never
love Conspiracy Theory. I am a Conspiracy Theory fan.
Never saw
love
one of those.
Good movie. Conspiracy Theory. He's crazy. Actually, you know what? He hates Jews too much to actually support him in his old movies. Go ahead, Logan.
Number one.
Number one, as submitted by the listeners, is...
Did you say anti-Semite? Just now.
As submitted by the listeners.
I know he didn't.
And by a long shot, Old Boy.
Old Boy.
Yeah, that definitely could have been on the list. I just feel like Old Boy gets a little bit too much love in here. You know what I mean?
I agree. It's sort of an obvious choice. Yeah. I think that was the first movie I thought of when I thought of this whole category.
It's great, though. You want to spend a good weekend, Brian, you and the lady? You watch Old Boy. You're going to love him. Have you seen Old Boy?
I have. I fully fessed it.
That's right. That's right.
My whole thing was...
You watched it with the lady, dubbed.
Though. Never mind.
What's that?
Didn't you watch it dubbed?
Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, watch it. Even if it's dubbed, watch dubbed with the lady.
Sure.
Right?
I'm sure
Why is
it
so
it.
Funny?
Really? She loves The Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
She will not love this film.
Holiday Inn Express with Lufus.
Oh, that's a Logan loves that.
What you do is you watch that, and then you watch right after, back-to-back, double feature, Brian. You watch I Saw the Devil, where Old Boy plays the horrible rapist murderer.
Oh.
And you go, look at what a good actor. You love him, you hate him. Love him, hate him.
Sure. Yeah. I gotcha. Uh-huh. I love it.
That's it, guys.
Thank you guys for joining us on the top five.
Another solid episode.
I think it was a solid episode.
Yeah.
Where are my list of plugs over here?
Come on, Brian. Come on.
People, you know what? People that love this podcast appreciate this extra 30 seconds.
Manatee, Oakland, California. Self-titled album available now. ManateeTheBand.com.
Yeah. AndersonandBrian.com. Check us out. You can click our sponsor button, support the show. It's funny,
Hey, what's with all the hate, by the way?
What hate? What hate?
For my little picture that the girl took of me in Hawaii that I told her I'd use as my profile picture.
Oh.
Why is everyone saying that it's creepy? Why are you starting that bandwagon and getting people to say that
I did
creepy.
Tweet at you that you're... I didn't say it was creepy. I said it was horrifying.
Why is it horrifying?
Or terrifying.
Because I'm coming out of the ocean and I look like I'm rapey?
Yes. That's pretty much exactly
but I don't.
It. You hit the nail on the head right there.
I like the picture. The girl took it and she really liked it. And I said, honey, I'll use it as my... oh, my God. This is creepy.
All right, check Anderson's profile
Stop
picture
laughing,
out.
Logan.
Check Anderson's profile picture out on Twitter.
I'm going to change it now, Twitter. You fucks.
All of our links to Twitter and don't do that. All of our links to Twitter and Facebook can be found on AndersonandBrian.com. As can a sponsor button. Anderson, when we talked to our fan out there in Denver, he asked us specifically, he's like, how about a donation button on your page? And I was like, you know what?
No!
We'll never have a donation button.
Never.
We'll never ask for your money. We'll never say, please just hand over some money where your charity
Well,
case.
We might ask for money if we're selling something.
We will try and give you something for your money. We'll ask you to support the show through sponsors or through our DVD commentaries or through premium episodes if we do that in the future. Or we'll get you something for your
Streaming
money.
Streaming commentary, DVD commentary.
That's exactly right. For our movies commentary, for our feature commentary.
But that's very nice. I appreciate it because I get a lot of tweets.
Yes, it's a great sentiment.
Too.
And if you do want to support the show, click the sponsor button. Check out what our sponsors are peddling. And in the meantime...
And if we got minimum wage for the show and all the hours, I wonder what we would have in our pocket.
I'd retire.
We used to get paid quite well, quite handsomely, over 97.1.
I don't know if that's a handsome...
It was handsome
payment.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty good.
I gave some of my money to you, if that's what you're talking about.
You're so cute and clever.
Check out saveitforair.com, Logan's little podcast. Check out the Miss Movies Minute over here.
Damn, you're insulting.
They discuss loofahs and tooth fairies.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the Miss Movies Minute at hitterissmovies.com. And check us out, andersonandbryan.com. Audiblepodcast.com. One more time, /TFE. Audiblepodcast.com.
Audiblepodcast.com.
Anderson.
Yo.
Who are we doing it for?
We're doing it for Van Gogh.